From Bright Umbrella, this is Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, we are taking a look back at 2015 in our annual year in review. And once again, our Bright Umbrella intern, Erin Lewis, is here to reflect back with us. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is brought to you by Craft Commerce, a brand new e-commerce platform for Craft CMS. If you're a web shop that likes to create custom-tailored websites for your clients, you're going to love Craft Commerce. It's extremely flexible, leaving all the product modeling and front-end development up to you. And it's got a simple and intuitive back-end for content managers. To learn more and download a free trial, head over to craftcommerce.com.
We had such a blast during last year's year in review with Erin. We had to have her back. Plus, she's actually here in Albuquerque once again on the day we're recording. So there was no way I was going to let her off the hook. For those of our listeners who don't know Erin, she's been working with us at Bright Umbrella for almost 2 years, and she's hugely involved with Control Click. She manages all of our social media, handles a lot of our communications with guests and sponsors. She's awesome, and we love her. Welcome back to the show, Erin.
Hello. Thank you for having me once again.
Of course. So what have you been up to since our listeners heard from you last year?
Well, outside of being the coolest librarian ever by day and the hardest working intern at night, I've spent a lot of time seeing some great music and eating lots of good food.
Very good. That's always a good thing for me. Before we get into our actual retrospective, can you share how your internship has been going? Like, what's been good? What's been bad?
Be honest. You can be honest.
I feel like it's been wonderful. You guys are great. The internship has been going great. What's been good, beyond the technical skills I'm developing, I've started to get a sense of my own value as part of Bright Umbrella, and that's been really good for me on a personal level. I'm sending resumes out right now, and I'm looking for a full-time position, so having more confidence is helping me get through that process. And I've also gained a pretty strong perspective on the type of company that I'd like to work for and what makes me happy professionally.
I think those are some of the hardest lessons to learn, especially the knowing who you want to work for, like the type of company you want to work for. Because I know when I was in the, you know, as an employee, I was just looking for a job.
Right. And, what will pay the bills.
Exactly. But, you know, through the course of my 20 some odd year career, like, I do know it makes a difference who you work for and what they do in terms of your professional satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something that I had really considered before, but now I'm finding it's really important to me. So you guys have spoiled me, I guess. Wherever I work is not going to be as cool.
Well, it's good. You should like what you do. You spend a lot of time doing it. Absolutely. So that's the good stuff. Anything that's not been so good with the internship?
Well, I don't know if this is really not good, but it's different from what my expectations originally were.
Right.
At the beginning, I had just imagined that I'd be able to move more quickly through each stage of the learning process. But I'm finding that some tasks are a lot more challenging than I expected, the personal branding being one of them. I feel like that took me a really long time to motivate to get through because it was hard. It was way outside of my comfort zone. And I found that I tend to drag my feet pretty hard on things that I find challenging. So it kind of like piles up. So I'm trying to work on that and I'm learning that about myself. I have to make it a point to take a step back and look where I've started compared to where I am now to see how much I've learned. And that helps me motivate when I'm feeling drained or stuck somewhere in the process.
Very cool.
Yeah. For our listeners, just a little bit of background. So when Erin came on board, Leigh and I basically thought about what we know in terms of what we've taught at, you know, at various universities or in classes, and put together like a curriculum for Erin. And we've basically been moving her through that curriculum. And she mentioned the personal branding. And that was not what you're currently in, but the last phase that you're in. Right now, you're kind of learning more design specific stuff. But I think that branding is hard. I mean, Leigh, you and I both know we went through this when we became Bright Umbrella. It's emotional and it's not like checking things off a list. Like when you learn how to write HTML, you can be like, check, I understand semantics. Check, I know how to validate. Check, I know how to use Photoshop. with personal branding, it's like it's all introspective and it's trying to be open to what other people perceive about you. And it's such an emotional process.
Well, and at the same time, it's kind of like you really have to think critically of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, part of the issue why it's so hard, because there's ways you want to present yourself, but and you can say like, oh, I am this, but are you actually presenting yourself in that manner, or do other people perceive you in that manner? So mm-hmm. there's like that disconnect.
Right. And when you go through that, you don't normally consider. Yeah, about
exactly.
Yourself.
So when you go through the process and then people say things that you don't expect, it's a little bit off-putting, mm-hmm. not necessarily because they say something negative, but it's something that you just, you're like, really? You think I'm whatever, you know, it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just looking at yourself through a more objective lens, which is really impossible to do.
Yeah, who can be objective about themselves?
Right. Right.
All right. So what we wanted to do this year is what we've been doing for the past 4 years. This is our fifth year in review.
Holy moly.
I know. I can't believe it. So we're just going to reflect back on some of the lessons learned, some of the things we look forward to next year. Leah, why don't you start us off and share what maybe your top tech thing that you learned this year, something related to your profession, technical stuff.
Sure. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, whenever we do these retrospectives that there's going to be some repeats from mm-hmm. previous years, because you're just always learning and getting better at something specific. And for me, I feel like that's thinking more modularly when I'm designing as well as coding, because I feel like it's easier to do that maybe technically, because you're like, okay, this box will repeat itself this way, so therefore you need a variable, blah, blah, blah. You just make it, you know, technical and you can box things. But for design, I think the idea of even contemplating a module first approach, like mm-hmm. actually looking at smaller pieces to design first as part of a system, instead of like, again, the old fashioned page way, is something that I'm working on. And then for CMSs, I started playing around with Expression Engine's template layouts, which is, you know, one of the newer things in the newer versions of Expression Engine features. And, you know, that has helped me think a lot more modularly. And I did a lot more with Craft this year, which is, I think, inherently a system that has a more dry mm-hmm. approach, especially because of Twig and the way their templating system is. But overall, I think I'm just getting better at making sure I design and craft code that can be used in multiple ways, instead of just starting from scratch and repeating myself.
So I'm curious, where does that fit in with like a mobile first approach, like module first? Does that inherently be mobile first?
Yeah, in many ways it is. But instead of just thinking of the entire screen, you're literally thinking about, you know, let's say like in an e-commerce thing, like the actual product in, you know, box, for example. So instead of just thinking of, you know, when the screen expands, then the entire layout does this. Mm. You're thinking about like, how does that one component change depending on how wide it is or how small it is, or whether you need to have multiple situations. And it's just, again, one of those like mind twists mm-hmm. that you have to just kind of work through. At BDConf in Washington, D.C., one of the speakers actually gave an example over like, okay, if we take a look at if we just did it this by using what's called the browser queries, where we based it on the browser width, then you would design this way, and you would design, you know, pretty much again, like almost the entire layout at once. Mm-hmm. While if he was thinking about component queries or module specific queries, which is something new and not all browsers support it, but then you can focus on a specific thing before you start doing the entire layout in the rest of the context. So it's hard to explain over audio, but it's really interesting and fascinating to me.
So since it's a little bit difficult to discuss over audio, and it is really probably more of a mind shift change than anything else, what did you do to help you with shifting your mindset? Any resources?
Well, first of all, attending a conference like BDConf
right.
is helpful. And I can't recall the name of the talk. I believe it was like element queries, but we'll link that to the show notes.
Okay, excellent. All right, Erin, how about you? What was the top tech thing you learned this year? I mean, amongst all tech things you're learning this year.
Do you have a lot of time here? So I'm not really sure if this counts as a tech thing, but it's a workflow thing that helped me a lot this year. I think I've finally learned to write everything down and bookmark all my resources, even if I think I'm going to remember something because it seems so simple. I've wasted a lot of time looking things up just because in the moment that I need something, my brain just isn't calling up whatever process is needed. Right. So having things bookmarked and knowing where I can go to grab something real quick is just, sped up, I guess, my productivity. We use Send2Ink as our shared bookmarking tool at Bright Umbrella. Mm-hmm. And with a browser extension, it's just super easy to save anything, hashtag it, categorize it, just make little notes for myself. Because it's pretty much guaranteed if I had to look something up once, I'm going to have to look it up again. So I finally figured out that I can save myself a lot of time by having resources to go to.
Oh, for sure. And I'm really happy with Send2Ink because we did do a thorough kind of review over all the bookmarking tools. There are so much.
Yeah.
There's so much out there, but I feel like Send2Ink, which is free, I believe it is, they also have premium, whatever, but it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's been good. It's, the shared bookmarking. So we also share resources. Also, we use it as our cue for the social media content we want to share. So it's been really useful. And, we can, message each other with it, have conversations about bookmarks within Send2Ink. And we receive notifications about it in email or whatever. So yeah, I think I'm glad that you're picking up on that. I mean, because I think that's one of those things you only really figure out unless someone's like, you need to figure this out.
Right.
Or you've spent 5 years and you're like, I'm not so efficient. I need to get more efficient. But if you make yourself efficient from the beginning, then you're already thinking in that mindset. I think it took me years to start saving bookmarks. If I think back to the beginning of my career, I didn't save bookmarks. I just read stuff and then I'd try and find it again later.
Re-Google it.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was that nice few years when I was using Delicious and I loved that bookmarking service. It's no longer what it used to be. But yeah, bookmarking your resources is huge.
Yeah, it's a good. I'm glad you guys have kind of paved the way for me with a lot of work habits and workflows, which I'm definitely benefiting from. Even in my regular librarian job, I feel like I'm streamlining.
Cool. Very cool. So Emily, how about you? What tech stuff have you figured out or are learning about this year?
Well, Leia, you know this because we talked about this last week, but I really struggled to come up with something that was tech related that I learned this year because I feel like I'm really in a phase of fine tuning, not necessarily picking up something new, but just trying to make something I already understand not be perfect, but work more efficiently or work better for me.
Right.
Like in 2014, we came up with our internal framework, which we call Starter Files, which was a totally new approach to how I'd been doing front-end development. And that felt quite significant.
Right.
But I feel like this year, I'm really just trying to make it work. Like I'm trying to really
better,
put starter files to work, maintain it, keep track of the stuff I want to add to it, add stuff to the list of things that I'll add when I have time.
Right.
So really nothing new stands out for me that I learned this year. But thinking on it, maybe that is in itself a lesson that I don't always have to be learning something new. That there's just as much value in perfecting something as there is in experimenting with whatever the new pretty is, whether it's front end or CMS or even business stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Like when I mentioned all the CMS things that I do, whenever I'm trying to work through a problem, I go on Slack or something like that. And people have like 5 different ways to do the same thing. So you're always, even though it's something you already kind of know what to do, there's always a twist on how to improve the same thing you're doing because someone has, an idea over to make it more efficient or, just more performant for some reason.
I don't know if it's a maturity thing or where I am in my career, especially being a business owner, but I want to just make what I know how to do be better.
Right.
As opposed to being like, okay, now it's time for me to pick up Angular. That's just not where my mind is these days.
Right.
So let's take a turn and talk about the business things we learned this year. Leia?
So where do I even begin? Because, yeah, I don't know. Like 2015, it feels like the year of the business. But I feel like what everyone says about pricing, what you're worth, is true. Mm. But it's rather an obvious statement, and it's not always clear what it actually means or how to do that in practice. Because it's one thing to hear good business advice, but it's another to follow through or even completely understand the point of the advice. So I feel like this year we were ready to be proactive instead of reactive about business. And one of the best things that came out of that is learning how to price ourselves properly. When you don't, you're essentially saying it's okay to go out of business and be unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like really with that, it was just like, in some ways, it was also an emotional learning lesson, because sometimes in regards to pricing, it should be more objective, but it often is not. And then when you work through the practicalities of it and understanding that, you know, when you do it incorrectly, you're actually harming yourself, I feel like was a big lesson.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm on the same page with you. We talk about this all the time since we've been really focusing on our pricing the past 6 months, but it's so true. I think I've heard, you know, bill what you're worth, or you should be billing more.
And right.
You hear that, but you don't hear specifics about that. You don't,
right.
You, and it's very hard to take a very general phrase like that and say, well, how do I apply that to my business? Like, well, how do I know what I'm worth? Like, how do I even start with that stuff? And I'm so excited because one of our first guests of 2016 we have lined up is Brad Weaver of Nine Labs. He'll be joining us, I think it's late January, and he's going to be talking about some practical pricing stuff, and it's stuff that he's actually helped Leia and I with, with our business. And we had a 2-hour conversation with him, and we instantly changed our business.
Like yes, because it was practical. Yeah, it was practical advice. It was the moment we hung up the phone, we were able to do stuff. Because the way he conveyed it was strategic and specific.
Right?
Because again, like, I understand, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes you read all these books or you read all these articles, and they often do say the same point, which is price yourself properly, figure out your expenses, blah, blah, blah. But it still seems rather vague with very little examples on how to exactly do that. Or sometimes there's calculators that make no sense because it's not relevant to your business, those types of things. But yeah, this year I feel like we finally found the resources that resonated. And I think that's an important lesson too with business stuff, because there's a lot of people giving out advice about business or writing about business, and there's conferences about business. But I think it's important to find a resource that you speak the same language and that can translate your needs specifically for your particular uses. Because again, oh, you know, raise your rates and blah, blah, blah. Well, what does that even mean?
That, I agree. Pricing has been a huge shift for us in our business. So how about you, Erin, business-wise? What's been a lesson you've learned this year?
This year, I went to my first conference.
Woohoo!
Yay!
I went as a volunteer to the WordCamp in Baltimore. I thought if I volunteered, it would sort of give me a reason to be there.
Right.
I feel like I don't know enough to really get anything out of a conference, but I was totally wrong about that. I didn't know first that when you volunteer, you also get to see speakers. I thought I was just going to be like handing out name badges and calling it a day. So I was really psyched that I got to see some people speak while I was there. That was the first cool thing. And second, you know, I've always had a lot of support from you guys through this internship. And I guess I feel like it comes from more of a personal level, even though we work together professionally. But I had no idea how open and supportive other people were going to be, people I don't already have a connection with. It was really surprising and really exciting. I was nervous before I went that I was going to be feeling out of place. But once I got there, everyone was super eager to talk to me about all kinds of good web stuff. And it didn't matter that my level of experience was a lot lower than the people I was talking to. They were super cool. So it just opened my eyes that there's more to getting started in this industry if you want to take advantage of it. You know, there's more than just like learning stuff on your computer at home.
Absolutely.
So that was, I had a really great day. It was, they're great people.
If you've listened to this podcast even a couple times, you know how passionately and I are about being involved in our web community. I mean, it's why we do the podcast. It's a way of being involved and connected and sharing information. But I think it's the best part about our industry is that the vast majority of people just want to share and connect.
Oh, totally.
I've never seen it in any other, you know, because, you know, I didn't always do web stuff. I've done other things and I've never seen it in any other industry.
Yeah, no, I would say that's totally accurate. It's one of the things I do love about the web and even maybe the communities we do, you know, surround ourselves with. They're just so helpful. Just generally, like, no one tries to treat you like just because you have a question that might be basic, people are willing to answer them.
Yeah, I came away from that day with a list of resources. I didn't ask anybody for any resources, right. But people are like, check this out, look at this, talk to this person. It was really cool.
We're fortunate about the people in our field. We really are.
Yeah, no, totally. So, Emily, I touched on pricing, but do you have any other business learning of 2015 to share?
Yeah, this is, for me, business was the opposite of technical stuff. I feel like I did nothing but learn about my business this year,
right.
Which is good because I'm a business owner.
Sure.
And I think I remember saying last year's year in review that I wanted to be a serious business owner. And that means getting sort of tough about things like pricing or realizing that you just lost a ton of money on this huge project you thought was the best project ever.
Right.
But aside from the pricing aspect, I think my greatest lesson this year business-wise was really identifying and embracing our focus as a business. And what I mean there is less about the fact that we provide client services and more about the fact that we are a women-owned business.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to me in retrospect because we're literally 100% woman-owned and operated, but I never identified as a women-owned business. I never thought of it as something that would be something we could market off of.
Right.
But then taking it even a step further, when you look at our client base and who we've had clients for years, they're also majority women-owned or managed operations.
Right.
You know, when you and I joined forces to become Bright Umbrella, we spent a lot of time figuring out how to market ourselves as client service providers, you know, focusing on our creative and technical work and how we might market to like nonprofits, educational organizations, and small business. But it wasn't until this summer when we attended WeBank, which is the Women Business Entrepreneurs National Conference, we took time to really recognize that we were a female-owned business and really market ourselves. And so we're using this aspect of our business that we are majority woman owned and operated, but most of our clients are also majority woman owned or managed to guide our business decisions. Like, who do we want to work with? What types of conferences do we want to attend? How do we sell ourselves? Because I've said this probably a dozen times, I'm good at what I do. So are you, Leah. But a lot of our peers are equally as good as we are.
Sure.
But what makes us different is who we are, not what we do. And so having that bit of nuance, it feels very powerful. We have a better, stronger sense of identity, which helps us market better, period.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the real theme, you know, I kind of mentioned that we're a lot more proactive than reactive this year, but it also means we're a lot more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just talking casually with a few of our peers over the conferences, we've been really fortunate because we are good at our jobs that, you know, people would refer us and things like that. But we were never intentional of getting these referrals, or we were never intentional in getting these types of clients. We just took whatever came our way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like now we're a lot more empowered to position ourselves a lot better.
Yeah, I'm excited about this shift. We're applying for certification as a woman-owned business. So by this time next year, we should be properly certified, which not only opens up opportunities to work with organizations and agencies that have diversity programs and are looking for actual women-owned businesses, but it also creates opportunities for us to talk to other women business owners. You know, we already have that in common.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think like WeBank was so amazing in that you just saw so many powerful women. Just being in the same room with women that powerful and that successful, and then they had a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. It's just, it really is motivating and just inspirational. Different from going to a tech conference. Tech conference, you're inspired to like do better, like actual production work. Mm-hmm. But I feel like going to an entrepreneurs conference isn't just inspiring in terms of business. You just feel like, I can do whatever I want mm-hmm. to do. You know, like you just personally feel energized.
Yeah. And there's nothing like, you know, seeing a successful woman, being a woman, I can see myself in her.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot clearer to me to identify with that kind of success. And I think another thing that is awesome about being surrounded at a conference with a bunch of successful women business entrepreneurs is that there's a tendency for them to be very open with how they got there, including the struggles and the hard stuff, which I think it's important to talk about the stuff that doesn't work along the way, the failures along the way, the missteps. And I do think that in a group of women, it's very natural to have those conversations without fear of being perceived as weak.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it was, people were so open. They were telling us numbers. They're like, oh yeah, I remember when I was blah. And then I'm like, oh, that's where we're at right now. Maybe I could be like you later on, you know?
Multi-million-dollar business. So actually, that's sort of a nice segue, feeling empowered and inspired to talk about, Leia, what was the most important personal lesson you learned this year?
So it's kind of funny because it is tied a little bit to tech. So when I got my new iPhone, it has a built-in fitness tracker. And I consider myself relatively fit. I work out hard when I do, and I work out regularly, but the tracker shows how sedentary I actually am overall. When I took a look at it, I only averaged 3,000 steps a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's pretty low.
Is that because when you're at the gym, you're mostly doing weights and stuff like that?
Yeah, and I don't do much walking type of cardio. It's usually like kettlebells or whatever like that. So it's not major steps. And then since I work from home, my steps are going to the bathroom or going to the kitchen.
Well, at least you actually have steps in your house, so you have elevation involved.
Yeah, so I do actually have a good average of elevation changes. At least that's what the iPhone showed. But when I saw that I was only like walking an average of 3,000 steps a day, I was like, oh, that isn't, I don't think that's good because that is really super sedentary. So that triggered me to decide like, you know what, I'm going to literally incorporate exercise every day now. But that doesn't mean like super hard workouts. I just actually go to the gym and walk for an hour. And I still do my regular weight workouts, but I also supplement that with the quote off days is where I just listen to a podcast or surf the web or read while I'm on a treadmill. And I do that every morning. And I just feel like it's a good way to start my day. And it just, it does make me feel better overall throughout the day.
So have your steps increased?
Yeah. So I don't have 10,000 steps a day on average, but I have doubled it to at least 6 to 7,000 now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are you still just using the native tracker on the iPhone or did you get an app or anything?
No, I'm just using the regular tracker because I feel like the thing about fitness trackers, and I've had the Fitbit before and all those kind of things. I'm that personality where I feel like I need to chill out sometimes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, I do.
Like, for example, a few years ago when I got my Fitbit and I got into this other like workout website, it's just like I was tracking every little thing and it's unhealthy. Like you become like obsessive over like the littlest stupid thing. And that's, I don't think that's a way to live. I feel like the tracker should just be a gauge of overall activity. Mm-hmm. And so I try not to be like, I have to get this 10,000 steps now. And I used to. But I'm like, okay, if I just have my phone, I don't have like a specific watch or specific whatever, then I'm a little more chill about it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, Leah, I work with you. I know your personality. I totally like, get what you mean. Being like, I haven't hit 10,000. I must go outside and walk in circles.
Yeah. Like, and I used to do that. I used to do like just literally around the kitchen one time. Rob saw me doing that. And he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I haven't reached my 10,000. That's why I'm walking around in circles in the kitchen right now. And you know, and then I recognized that this is a bit unhealthy. So.
Oh, how about you, Erin? What was your quality of life personal thing you learned this year?
Well, I don't know if I can say that I've actually learned this, but I'm trying to let go of the idea of what I should be doing at any given time in my life and be more present with what I'm actually doing. I know that being present and in the moment is a real trendy thing. but I'm with that trend. I feel like I'm a lot happier when I can just accept whatever I'm doing as being what it is instead of thinking of the millions of other things I should be doing. You know, that comes for work and for doing things socially, just trying to let go of the guilt that I should not be enjoying myself and that I should be working.
Right.
That I feel all the time when I'm not working. And then when I am working, guilty that I'm not working enough or that I'm not producing whatever. I have a tendency to get real focused on myself and what I'm doing, and I lose the whole living your life part of it. Right. So I've been trying to get back to that and giving myself some credit. Like if I'm deciding to do something, it's because that's what's good for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And if that means I'm just random around with my dog or I'm watching a show or I'm out with friends or I'm doing great work or that it all has a place.
You know, Erin, I think it must be really hard to have a full-time job and, for lack of a better way of putting it, a part-time internship. I mean, you're working part-time hours for us and have a life with your dog, your running, your friends, concerts and stuff like that. And I think it's really be easy for you to default to that, you know, I've got to do. But sometimes you do just have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to exist because otherwise whatever you're doing may not be at its best.
Right. And, you know, and just trying to take happiness not from things that are always changing, but trying to take happiness from other feelings and experiences and not base it on whether or not I was able to get a project done in a certain amount of time or whatever, you know. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm good at it like 10% of the time.
Don't feel. I should be 100%.
Yeah, I should be doing a lot better with letting go of the word should.
So there's a reason why our podcast is called Control Click. Yeah.
I'll never forget when I first told Jason the name Control Click Cast, you had come up with Leia.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, it makes so much sense. You and Leia are both control freaks. You're like, you know, you're a control click. And I was like, that actually wasn't what we meant, but I can that see also what you're works.
Yep. Yep. So, Emily, how about you? How have you tried to incorporate a better quality of life this year?
You know, it's a little bit along the same lines as what you were talking about, because walking became a big part of my quality of life this year. I think I talked about this last year. I started training with my trainer again and really making time for activity and exercise. But the walking, it's not really about exercise or activity. It's really about starting out my day outside. It sort of sets the tone for the day, and it sets the tone that I'm taking time for me before anything else that happens today. And it's not about going a particular distance or reaching a certain pace. It's about getting outside and enjoying where I live, which 90% of the year is beautiful and sunny. And I also sort of created a game for myself. When I take a walk, I like to take pictures of things that are interesting, but only one of those pictures gets posted and shared. I put it on Flickr and I share it on Facebook. And it's, you know, like the picture of the day. Mm-hmm. But let's say on Monday I go up for my walk and I take 10 pictures and I pick one for that day. Well, then on Tuesday, I want to go back out and try and recapture something I saw on Monday because right. it was also awesome. And so it becomes a motivation that's aside from the walk. It's like, what cool thing can I find today to share? It's its own incentive. And it's turned almost meditative because
right.
I can't think about what I'm stressed out about work when I'm trying right. to find a cool picture. I'm not thinking about how fast I'm going or how far I'm going. I'm just kind of like what Aaron was saying. I'm really present in the moment, just trying to find my picture of the day. And right. it makes the next day's walk, I'm more excited because I'm like, oh, remember that flower? I hope I catch it before it dies or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, walking, it's been a huge part of setting the tone for my days. We recently moved into a new house and the way I know things are getting back to normal is that I'm able to get my morning walks in again.
Right.
You know, that the schedule's finally getting back to something that's normal.
Right. And it's interesting when you start a new habit, like at first it's always a little bit awkward and hard, but then when there's a skip where you stop doing that regular thing you've started, like walking, that now feels odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you miss it. You've got like an empty space.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like when you decide to do a daily habit, it makes it easy for you to just continue doing it because you're like, well, this is supposed to be a daily habit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to break my streak. And also because I'm like really obsessive like that too. Yeah.
Like every day. we're like unhealthy while being healthy. Yeah. Like psychologically warped healthy people.
Yeah. Right.
We're all just trying our best. That's all totally. We can do.
So we've been looking back this whole time. Let's look a little bit forward to next year. Leia, is there anything that you want to achieve next year, something new you want to learn or something you want to understand better?
So honestly, and I feel like this is actually a repeat from previous years, I'd like to give myself more time to read. Mm. And it's just hard. What I mean by that is like really reading, because I feel like even I think about our past episodes, I say, oh, I read this thing, but really I skimmed it.
Right.
So I would only get maybe like the high level ideas and I generally get a gist, but I don't actually maybe truly understand what's going on. So I feel like I want to take more time to absorb and slow down when I'm actually setting aside time to read. Mm-hmm. Technically, I'd like to understand how to be more efficient with just CMS templating in general. Like going to this craft Slack channel is always like an educational experience because everyone's helping each other out to figure out a million one ways to do like one thing. And then people would critique a little bit here or there. And, you know, I kind of find that weirdly fun. And, you know, even though I mentioned the Craft Slack channel, it's really not CMS specific. I mentioned Craft because I was just there recently. But I really enjoy seeing other people's way of thinking through the same problem and finding that solution can be applied to whatever system you use.
Yeah, you've said read more many times.
Yeah.
Maybe I should make a to-do.
Yeah, no, totally. No, I know. It's just, it's because it's one of those things where I used to read so much. And I don't know if it's because, you know, now with all the social media and all the devices that we have that I've conditioned my mind to have a shorter attention span. Mm, so it is harder for me to just like be present and focus for a long period of time these days.
Yeah, I think though, to be fair, and you know, I think it's also worth mentioning just for archival purposes, we've had a good year this year. We did not have a good year the previous year. And so when you have actual billable client work versus reading, it's very hard to say, well, I'm going to read, you know? So it's been a good year and therefore you've been extra busy.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, I should be reading during the weekend.
Right. You know, because you don't need a life or anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, I should also be present when I'm reading fiction too. You know, just to absorb as well. But instead, I end up watching Netflix shows.
Yeah.
But that is also a lot of fun.
I love reading books and I normally can read about 50 to 100 a year. That's probably my average.
That's awesome.
This year has been complete opposite. I think I've read 25 books this year, and it was all between January and March. And work picked up, and reading just wasn't an option. Because when I'm done for the day, my mind can't possibly process words. All I want to do is sit in front of a TV and vegetate.
But it's the golden age of TV, though. There's just so much... There's just always something good on Netflix these days, or Hulu or Amazon or whatever. I don't watch real cable TV anymore.
All right, Erin, how about you? What is something that you're really hoping to learn new next year or try?
In 2016, I think that I would like to expand upon my experience at WordCamp and get out into the community a little bit more. I had such a great experience that day and had all these plans afterwards. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to these meetups and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I haven't done anything else, but I know how great it made me feel. And it was really motivating for me it actually re-energized me to get working on some things that I'd sort of let go to the side. So I think if I do more of that in 2016, it'll just add another layer of... I guess just another layer to my general professional development, you know, getting to know some other folks, listening to other people's stories about how they got to where they are can be super, super motivating. So, you know, at least go to some meetups this year, but hopefully seek out another local conference that I can either volunteer at or just go to. I'd like to make that a priority.
Cool. I think that's a good one for someone at your position in your career, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Emily, how about your goals for next year?
You know, my professional goals are really simple and straightforward. I want to keep doing what I'm doing, perfecting myself as a developer and a business owner. I don't necessarily want to do anything new. I just want to get better.
Right.
But the one thing I do want to do new in 2016 is personal. I'd really like to get involved in a local community organization. I used to volunteer as a coach for Special Olympics back east, but when I moved to Albuquerque, I didn't get back into it. And now it's 9 years later and my life is all self-focused. And Jason and I kind of promised each other that once we bought this house and moved into the house and got settled, we were going to kind of put all the self-focus and the self-interested energy, put some of it back out to helping our local community.
Right.
And so as much as I'd love to get back involved with Special Olympics, because it's, if you've ever done anything with that organization, it is really amazing to be a part of. But there's this new chapter of Girl Develop It that just opened up here in Albuquerque. And I honestly, to me, that seems so exciting to actually help girls and young women get into our industry. So I'm not exactly sure what my role could be or, you know, if Girl Develop It will definitely be it. But 2016 is about me finding an opportunity to do more for where I live for other people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I feel like there's a business lesson there too, because stability allows you the freedom to do this type of stuff. Because, you know, you can talk about how like you were self-focused and stuff, but you were self-employed. Mm-hmm. And when you're self-employed before, like I joined, you know, obviously you have to pay the bills. Right. And sometimes, and people who aren't in business might not quite understand this, but it's so much work. It is so much work. Cause you're basically doing business and production and you're talking to the accountant and you're doing everything. And it's really all consuming. And then when you have a time off, you just want to be totally off. Mm-hmm. And all these things go off in the wayside. But if you have a stable and successful business, I think one of the things in terms of that learning about pricing and stuff like that isn't about greed. Mm-hmm. It isn't about like making so much profit that we're like, you know, Scrooge McDuck diving into, you know, a pile of coins or whatever. It's about getting to a point where you can make these decisions where you're like, now I have the freedom and breathing room and time to do this because my business and life is stable.
That's so true. And I'm just so glad that I think that's where we're headed, where we are. Like, no, it feels that way. I just, you know, I'm almost hesitant to say it because I don't want the universe to be like, I'm going to screw you.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. But I agree with you. This year has been a sense of, I think we're finally figuring some things out where we aren't in a constant state of, oh shit, how are we going to pay the bills?
Right.
Which is nice because last year kicked my butt. I was an emotional wreck by this time last year. I was like, I'm so glad that we got to the end of the year because I spent the whole year worried. That was what 2014 was. I was worried. And then 2015, we were just busy. I didn't have time to worry and it was great. So I'm so happy that shift happened. Although I'll have to put a link to this in our show notes. So Jay Cornelius of Nine Labs posted something about the slope of success in entrepreneurship and that you're aiming for like an upward slope, but the actual realities of it are ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Right, and as long as you're just sort of generally heading in the slope, you know, that you just, you weather those little storms, though they don't really feel that little when they're happening.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, again, maybe yet another lesson, all the things we did in the past years led up to this year, you know? So even though 2014 was definitely a struggle, we put into place certain things that allowed this 2015 to happen. And we had to take a step back and realize that certain things don't happen right away. You know, like, for example, our social media stuff or our marketing stuff or like all these other initiatives, just because we started it doesn't mean we don't get that we'll have immediate, like we'll have an immediate gain from that stuff happening, right? Mm-hmm, like it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that pretty much wraps up the things we want to talk about. But we do want, one of the things we did last year that I thought was pretty fun was have Aaron take a look back at what our guests had answered for our rapid fire 10 questions. So Aaron, why don't you break it down for us? How was this past year of guests and our rapid fire 10 questions?
It's always fun to look back through these answers. Even though I hear them when I listen to each episode, I don't, for some reason, reading through all them at once, you can get a really good sense of people's personalities from their answers.
Totally.
Some people I'm like, oh, I wish they were my friend. So as in years past, most of our guests, or I'm starting with the iOS Android question. Most are loyal iOS users. Out of the 26 guests, only two said Android.
Yep,
just two.
Two.
Of the 24 loyal Apple fans, one guest is apparently aiming to convert everyone to using iOS, beginning with the members of his family. And he's so far been successful. So look out, world. In terms of musical tastes, our guests listen to everything from electronic to classical and hard rock when working, but votes for total silence are up 300% from last year.
I remember noticing that we had a lot of people this year say that they did not listen to music.
Yeah, so the no distractions. I can get down with that. Sometimes you really just need to get in the zone. Let's see. For the last article read question, I think it's safe to say that our guests are pretty committed to keeping up on professional reading. I think only two out of the whole bunch had recently read something from outside the tech industry.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So people are keeping up. That's good. And let's see. When asked what profession our guests would not like to try, there were two answers that came up repeatedly. Garbage and or dead animal collector.
The dead animal collector.
Yeah, that came up a few times. Like, that is a job that these people don't want to do. I guess I wouldn't either. And accountant.
And accountant.
Yeah.
So they're all in this. Accountant is on the same level as dead animal collector. Okay. Yeah.
They share a pretty strong aversion to smelly things and numbers. All right. Let's see. For the desert island question, by and large, the guests were pretty practical for what items to bring. The three most popular answers were water was the first one, which is super practical, followed by family and or pets. And then finally, the phone, assuming that the phone comes with unlimited Wi-Fi and battery charge. And my favorite answer was chapstick. I thought that's genius. You do need chapstick. Your lips would be cracking. All right, two more. Let's see. My favorite question that you guys asked was what superpower would guests like to have? By a pretty large margin, the ability to fly is the front runner. Mm. That seems what everyone wants to be able to do, fly. I don't really know why. Like, what's it going to get you? But
that's how I feel about it. I don't want to fly.
Like, why? What's it? I don't know. But, I mean, to each his own. I like to run. But there were two answers that really got me. One was the ability to inspire empathy in others.
It was Leslie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was Farouk.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah.
Don't quote me. I mean, who's going to check? But And the other one was to make people happy. I think Leslie's was to be a super teacher.
Oh,
I think. But anyway, the other one was to make people happy. And those two answers made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Aww. And that maybe there's some hope for us humans after all. Okay. And finally, the cat or dog question. So polarizing in this world. I was a little fearful that it would be all cats all the time. As part of Bright Umbrella, a self-proclaimed company of cat lovers, I feel a little marginalized because of my love for dogs. I can't share in the same cat jokes. No, I just don't feel as good. But I'm happy to report that the numbers were more evenly distributed than I expected. Mm-hmm. So 31% people said dogs, 43% said cats, 13% said neither, and 8% said both. Those don't add up to 100%, but I'm okay with that because I would also not like to be an accountant.
Oh, God. This is like my favorite part of the year in review.
See, listeners, this is why we love Erin. She's so awesome. Just cracking up.
So speaking of these 10 questions.
Before we get into that, though, just a note to our listeners, we are changing these up next year. So it'll be a whole new set for 2016.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out like what else do we want to know about our guests?
Exactly.
Yeah, I have to start getting weird.
Yeah, it's just going to get weirder. So why don't we get Erin to do our rapid fire 10 questions? Emily still hasn't done it this year, but we'll get started with Erin because you're our guest.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question, Android or iOS?
iOS, and that is a change from last year. So I feel like I should send a note to that one guy. I'm on your team, too.
And if you were stranded on a desert island and could only bring three things, what would you bring?
I, like, didn't prepare for these questions. What would I bring? I would bring chapstick, water, and my dog, probably, because I really love her.
So what's your favorite TV show?
So I can only talk about what's my favorite right now, because every time I like something, it's my favorite of all time.
Right.
And I haven't watched, except for this time I've spent visiting Emily and watching her shows, I've watched nothing but Gilmore Girls for about 6 weeks.
Oh, man.
I'm in, like, a really happy place in my life.
Stuff that makes you feel good about your life.
Yeah.
All right, what's your favorite dessert?
Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream.
Ooh.
Hands down. Every time. Every day. I love it.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Other than my own, I think it'd be really cool to be like a travel writer.
Ooh.
Person who travels and writes about it and eats really good food and writes about it. Like a travel food writer.
Ooh, that's cool.
What profession would you not like to try?
I'm sticking with my kindergarten teacher thing from last year. You couldn't pay me to do that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. With a master's degree in education.
Yeah. At one time, I thought you could pay me to do it. Turns out you can't.
So what's the latest article or blog post you read?
The latest article that I read, I think I read a little like quiz about what kind of dog you are this morning.
Oh, like what kind of dog you are?
Yeah, me, not you. What kind of dog Emily is? I was doing some research. Obviously nothing too serious.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
To eat as much ice cream as I want and never get full.
Yeah.
What music do you like to work to?
This year I've been listening to a lot of bluegrass while I'm working. WAMU is my local like public radio station in DC, and they have a bluegrass channel. They just play bluegrass 24 hours a day, and it's really peaceful and calming.
So we already know the answer to cats or dogs.
Dogs.
But you do like my cat.
Oh, yeah. If they would let me pet them, it would be nice. But I do like them.
Okay, Emily, it's your turn now.
Okay.
Question one, Android or iOS?
I'm still Android.
If you were stranded on a desert island and could only bring three things, what would you bring?
Now, I've actually thought a lot about this question because I watch Naked and Afraid, and I'm constantly like amazed what these people, because they can bring an item and the things they choose surprise me. But anyways, for me, sunscreen, bug repellent, and a machete. And that would be it.
Man, those are quite
practical. Machete is good.
Those people get eaten alive by bugs. I am amazed that bug repellent is not at the top of everyone's list. Like the things
that would be
me.
Yeah. What's your favorite TV show?
Survivor. And this is sort of like of all time. I've loved it from the beginning. Jason and I watch it every week. It's the one show that both of us really get excited about. And we trash talk during it. And it's just, it's like, you know, it's like watching, you know, I have a degree in psychology. It's like watching it on TV.
Right, right.
What's your favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
Hey, ice cream. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
So I was thinking about this, and this is probably going to gross some people out, but I think I'd like to be an esthetician because I like popping zits. Like, I would like to pop people's
zits. I can't believe you just said that. Do you want to change your answer?
That is a legitimate job. People do that.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I like popping zits. What can I say?
That's gross.
I watch videos on YouTube of people popping zits. It's true. But I've given thought to this. That is my answer. Final answer.
Final answer. What profession would you not like to try?
I think it would also be the accountant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, keeping track of numbers.
Can't do the numbers. It's hard. As a business owner, it's hard enough to deal with the numbers that I have to deal with. Anything more, I can't imagine. Yeah. I'd be miserable.
What's the latest article or blog post you read?
I was reading a piece about how we should not be using icon fonts, which had me a little concerned because we use icon fonts.
Oh, totally.
So it's about SVG. So hopefully maybe this time next year, I'll be telling you how I learned how to use SVG.
If you could have a superpower, what would that be?
To get from one place to another instantly.
Yes.
I don't know what that's called. Teleportation?
Teleportation.
That's good. That's a good
one. That makes more sense than flying to me.
Yeah. Like the instantaneous.
I like that one. I like that too.
What music do you like to work to?
You know, this year I've just been listening to a lot of pop. I put it on Spotify and there are a bunch of different kind of like Discover playlists.
Right.
And pop. That's what it is.
Nice.
Happy pop.
Lastly, we don't even need to ask this question.
I know, it's like a given.
Cats
rule.
Meow.
That should just be the answer, just meowing. Meow. Just tons of meowing. All right, so that's all the time we have for today. Thanks, Erin, for returning to our end of the year review.
Thank you for having me.
So just as a reminder for our listeners, in case they want to follow up with you online, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm at Erin Lew, and that's it.
That's E-R-N-L-E-W.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks again, Erin. We are turning this into our annual Thanksgiving tradition, our annual holiday year in review show.
Yeah, I can't believe that another year has gone past. And it's kind of crazy. But hopefully this next year will be as awesome as this past year.
It will. It's going to be great.
It's going to be better.
Yes.
It's going to be even better. Control Click is produced by Bright Umbrella, a web services agency obsessed with happy clients. Today's podcast would not be possible without the support of this episode's sponsor. Thank you, Craft Commerce.
And before we sign off for 2015, we want to thank all the guests who help us deliver another year of fantastic content, episode after episode. And of course, a huge thank you to our listeners. Leigh and I make this show for you, so if you have any questions or topic suggestions for the show, please contact us on our website, controlclickcast.com/contact, or at Reply Us on Twitter.
We also can't forget our partners for their ongoing support. Arcus Tech has provided hosting for Control Click since the days when we were the EE Podcast. And both Devotee and EE Insider helped get the word out about our episodes. So thank you all.
We're going to enjoy a break from the podcast for a few weeks, but don't forget to tune in Thursday, January 14th, when we return to our regular schedule. We're still lining up guests, so be sure to check out our schedule at controlclickcast.com/schedule and stay tuned to Control Click Cast on Twitter for updates.
This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Click Cast. See you next time.
Cheers.